بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله وذ فضل كرم الله سبحانه وتعالى we have been discussing various sahaba رضوان الله تعالى عليهم اجمعين and these were the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam these were the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam They were children, grandchildren, in-laws, family relatives, close friends, neighbors. They were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They stayed in his company. As we mentioned so many times previously, they observed every movement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The manner in which he walked, the manner in which he spoke, the manner in which he ate. The manner in which he dealt with people, the manner in which he spoke, the manner in which he entered into a transaction, the manner in which he paid off his debts, the manner in which he sought a loan, the manner in which he dealt with his family members, his wives, his children, grandchildren. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were guiding stars because they didn't only observe, but they followed exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed on to them. And after bringing those actions into their lives, they became beacons of guidance and hidayat. And then they in turn taught others, and others, the tabi'een, observed from them. But we find there are common traits and qualities amongst the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, all of them which we read about. The humility, the simple way of life, their piety, their refraining from sin. These were salient features in all the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Not only the Sahaba, the males, the females also, the Sahabiyat. The valor, the courage they displayed. They had no fear, besides the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ibadat, the dhikr, the tilawat, the salat, the tahajjud. All these things have been recorded in books of Sirah, in Tariq, biographies of Sahaba. There are so many that have been compiled. Today we discuss, inshallah, a Sahabiyah radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her name was Asma bint Umays radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, there were various Asmas in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is Asma bint Yazid radiallahu ta'ala anha. The famous one we know, Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha had two daughters. One is Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the other daughter was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then he had two sons, Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha and Abdullah were brothers and sisters from the same mother and father. Abdul Rahman and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, same father, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, but their mother was different from the mother of Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nevertheless, they were brothers and sisters. That is Asma bint Abi Bakrin, who is known as Dhatun Nitaqin, the one who had two girdles or pieces of belt. When she had broken this belt of hers, just to tie some food for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and her father Abu Bakr when they were in the cave. So she tied this food for them, a little tiffin as we say, with her belt she made in two pieces. When Rasulullah saw her, he said, "Dhatun nitaqin," one of two pieces of belt. So we are not talking about this Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha. We are discussing tonight Asma bint Umays radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was married to Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the brother of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He was 10 years elder than Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Their father was Abu Talib. So Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, they were brothers. And they were the first cousins of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had embraced Islam in the beginning period of Islam. So he was also among the As-Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon. And his wife Asma bint Umays radiallahu ta'ala anha also, She also embraced Islam with her husband in the very early stages of Islam, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Darul Arqam. We discussed this before, but we'll just repeat this point. We'll find in the kitabs they talk about Darul Arqam, Darul Arqam, Darul Arqam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a Nabi, initially very secretly he would call people toward Islam, invite them toward Islam. Very secretly. After few people started embracing Islam, then they moved to Darul Arqam, they used this as the base. They would have meetings there, they would teach one another Quran, whatever else was important that Rasulullah would teach, to teach the Sahaba, he would discuss these things in Darul Arqam in secrecy. After that, after Hamza radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he moved into the haram, then things became a bit open. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha and her husband Ja'far both embraced Islam before Rasulullah could even go to Darul Arqam. So from this we can understand they were the very, very early people who embraced Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were persecuted in Makkah. We know what they had to go through. Some Sahaba could not take it any longer. And they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would ask him, Ala tastansiru lana, ala tad'u lana, why don't you make dua for us for victory? Why don't you make dua to Allah? Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises them to go to Habasha Abyssinia. He says there is a very just ruler there. And he rules with justice. Go there and you won't have any problem. So we know the whole story, how they go to Abyssinia. Sahaba, they leave Makkah, few of them, with this, some of them went with their wives, among them Usman radiallahu ta'ala, Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala, daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, Asma also went. When they went to Abyssinia, there's a long story of how those two people came behind them from Makkah, the Quraysh, and they spoke ill of them. Najashi, who was the ruler, asked the Muslims, somebody must volunteer to speak on behalf of the Muslim, explain to me, why have you come here? Who is the person who is Muhammad? What is he? What is he calling you to? And the manner in which Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he volunteered and then he spoke on behalf of the Muslim in a very eloquent manner. He even quoted ayat of the Quran, talking about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, because Najashi was a Christian. And when he read verses of Surah Maryam, Najashi and his courtiers began to sob. Nevertheless, those people, the Quraysh, they came and those leaders came and said, no, ask them what is the belief of Isa alayhi salam. They say, your prophet Isa alayhi salatu salam was a slave. Finally, Ja'far radiallahu anhu then recites verses of Surah Maryam. And then Najashi says, no, you will stay here. You are free to stay here. And whatever gifts those people tried to bribe Najashi with, he sent all those gifts back. And he sent them off. But he allowed the Muslims to stay there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Makkah. This handful of Sahaba are being persecuted. These people come over to Abyssinia. But after some time, Rasulullah sallallahu makes hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. These people, these Sahaba still remain. Of course, some of them came back to Makkah, were persecuted, they came, returned to Abyssinia. Some then remained in Makkah and then went to Medina with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ja'far and Asma bint Umays radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they remained in Abyssinia. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes away to Medina Munawwara. Badr takes place, Uhud takes place, so many battles take place. Finally, Khaybar, that is the seventh year after the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the muarrikhin, the historians write that Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala and Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha remained in Abyssinia for a period like 10 years, plus minus 10 years. So 10 years they remained, because before Hijrat they already came to Abyssinia. Then 7 years after Hijrat they come, exactly at a time when Rasulullah had conquered Khaybar. Khaybar was conquered, it was against the Jews. The forts were conquered. Khaybar now fell in the hands of the Muslims. Ja'far radiallahu anhu comes from Abyssinia with Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is overjoyed. He leaves everything, he embraces Ja'far. And then he actually remarks and he says, I am not sure whether I am happy today because of Khaybar being conquered or because of Qudumu Ja'far, of Ja'far coming. In other words, he was trying to express that I am happy because, oh Ja'far, you have come back. Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha visits Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha's wife or his daughter. Umar radiallahu ta'ala comes there, he asks his wife or daughter, whoever was there, who's this? She was obviously covering hijab, so who's this lady? So she says, it's Asma. She says, Habashiya, the one who came from Abyssinia, the one who came by ship now, the same Asma you're talking about? So she said, yes. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, he addressed Asma radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, Sabaqnaakum bil hijra. We beat you all in making hijrah to the Rasulullah sallallahu. We have got great rewards. You people didn't make hijrah to the Rasulullah sallallahu. You only appearing, arriving now. And obviously she became very angry. She says, Wallah, I won't eat, I won't drink until I take this complaint to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says, oh Umar, you people came to Medina, you made hijrah, fair and very well. You had the chance of giving sadqah, etc. and going in jihad. We were far away, in a distant land. We went through difficulties. We didn't have that type of comforts that you had. And obviously we could not spend in the path of Allah how you had the chance. Nevertheless, she goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu. See what Umar is saying? He's saying they have beaten us in making hijrat and therefore they deserve more rewards and we got nothing. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Lahum, for them, is hijratun wahida. One hijrat sawab only. But lakum, for you, hijratan. Hijratun ila al-Habasha, wa hijratun ila al-Madina, wa hijratun ila al-Wahshi, ila al-Habashi, the king of ila al-Najashi, wa hijratun ilayya. So you made one hijrat to Najashi, and you made another hijrat to me. You've got two rewards, two hijrat sawab. So you can see the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, he did not fight and compete and vie with one another for the sake of dunya. They just wanted to beat one another for the sake of akhirat. Whose mind will ever go to a thing like, we made hijrat before you and we made hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore we deserve more sawab. Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha, her sister was Maymuna. Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she becomes the sister-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other sister is Salma. She is married to Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha. I'm giving a bit detail because we need to know the Sahaba, who were the families. We hear incidents, and if you know what the relationship is, then we can appreciate the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can appreciate the incidents behind who these people are. Salma is married to Hamza. Now we know Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala were all foster brothers. At the same time, Ja'far and Hamza are brother-in-laws, married to two sisters. It's a beautiful incident. When Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha's wife Salma passed away in Makkah, and Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha became shaheed in Uhud, and Rasulullah sallam and Sahaba come to Makkah to make that Umratul Qadha, or they come during Hudaybiyah, one of the times when they come to Makkah, this little girl comes running to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Ammi, take me along with you, take me along with you. Who was this young girl? Umama radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Three sahaba run forward. Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. Each one going to take her into their custody. Ya Rasulullah, I deserve more right over her. I want to look after her. I want to look after her. Almost having a little fight. Rasulullah looks at all three. Looks at the arguments, what case they put forward to show that they deserve the right of custody over the little girl. You and I, if we were there, Somebody wants to take care. All right. Why we must make magajmari? Let them sort it out. Better for us. Sahaba, not like that. Purity of the hearts, the generosity, the hospitality. Rasulullah praised each one. Praised his adopted son Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. Then he praised Ali radiallahu ta'ala, his son-in-law. And then he praised Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. But he said, Ja'far's wife is Asma bint Umais, she is the khala of this girl, mother's sister. Al-khala tu bi manzilatil Khala, your mother's sister, has the same rank as your mother. When a mother passes away, your khala is like your own mother. Therefore, Ja'far has more right over Umama. Ja'far, you take her. It is mentioned in the kitabs, as far as the outer appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the akhlaq was concerned, Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot. A list of 5-6 or more sahaba have been mentioned, who resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even as far as their features were concerned. For example, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, his grandsons, they also resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, he takes custody of this little girl. Then comes the battle of Muta. They have to fight the Romans. Rasulullah dispatches his army. He says, Zayd will be the Amir. If Zayd is injured or qutila or if he is killed, then Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala must take over the flag and he must be the Amir. If he is injured or killed, then Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala, he must take over. If he is injured or killed, فَلْيَخْتَرِ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مَنْ شَاءُ Then the Muslim must choose whoever they wish to make the Amir. Muta is very far away, near Jordan, or in Jordan, far away from Medina Munawwara. Few days the Sahaba ago, and they are fighting the Romans. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting in Medina Munawwara. Sahaba are sitting with him. When suddenly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens out and reveals the whole battlefield in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he can actually visualize the Sahaba. And he says, there's Zayd, he's taken the flag, he's going forward, and he is now being wounded by the enemy. And then he says, Zayd is killed. He's telling the Sahaba this, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is crying. Then he says, Ja'far has now taken the flag. Ja'far is fighting very bravely. His horse is struck. Ja'far has fallen down. He holds the flag with his right hand. The enemy come and chop off his right hand. He grabs the flag with his left hand. The enemy chop his left hand. Then he says, with the ends of his two hands, he tries to press onto the flag close to his chest. And after that, the whole group of enemy come surround him and they kill him. Rasulullah is crying profusely. Then he says, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala has went forward. He has taken the flag. And after some time, he says, Abdullah also has become shaheed. And then the Muslims chose Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, and then they were victorious. Now this news, he goes himself, and he knocks on the door of Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ulama and the scholars have written, Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala was plus minus 33 years old only when he became shaheed. From this we can understand how young Asma must have been. It is mentioned in the kitab, Musnad Ahmad and other kitabs, that Asma binti Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha had prepared the roti, the dough for her husband. She just made the food because she heard they are about to return. She gave her three children a bath in Habasha. She gave birth to Abdullah. He was the first awwal mawludin wulida fil Islam fil Habasha. The first child from the Muslim to be born in Habasha was Abdullah bin Ja'far. A remarkable sahabi. Ja'far radiallahu anhu himself, when he came to generosity, he knew no bounds. He was even known by Rasulullah SAW, given a title as Abul Masakin, father of the poor people. They would just wait for Ja'far. His son Abdullah bin Ja'far, If you open Fazail al-Sadaqat of Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, towards the end there are many incidents. It's a beautiful incident of Hassan, Hussein radiallahu anhu, and Ja'far, Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu. Beautiful story. Each one's generosity is depicted very clearly there. But Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu was a bit more generous. He's the first one born there. Then she gave birth to Muhammad and then Aun, three children. Now these three, she gave them a bath, they were ready. Rasulullah SAW comes to her home, knocks on the door. He asks her to bring her children. So she brings them, stand before Rasulullah SAW. He goes and he sniffs the hair, places his Mubarak hands on the head, and he begins to tear. He embraces them, he hugs them. Asma asks, Ya Rasulullah, has some news about Ja'far reached you? He says, yes, Ja'far has become shaheed. The scholars have written she falls unconscious. Rasulullah SAW takes the three children and he goes to the masjid. He ascends the mimbar. He makes them sit with him. Then he calls out to Sahaba and he says, oh my Sahaba, today a very heavy musibat has befallen the family of Ja'far. You must take care of them. One riwayat, فَاصْنَعُوا لَهُ تَعَامًا أُكَ مَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. You must prepare food for them. Why? They have become مَشْغُول now. Their minds, their thoughts. They have to make sabr. They've lost their father. Asma has lost her husband. She is young. She's got no time to feed her children. She's got no time to feed herself. He instructs the Sahaba, you must take food and you must look after this family. So Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala becomes shaheed. After some time, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala marries Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala. From there, she gets a child who is also known as Muhammad. So one is Muhammad bin Ja'far, Muhammad the son of Ja'far, and this is Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. He is born while she is making Hajj with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Ulama write, waqt al-ihram. Why she's in ihram, she gives birth to, it's a long incident, but she gives birth to Muhammad. After Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala passed on, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala marries her. So one day, when these two Muhammads come into the family of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Muhammad bin Ja'far and Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, both begin to argue. And they say, Ana akramu mink. I'm more honorable than you yourself. One said, Abi khairun min abik. My father was better than your father. The other one said, no, my father was better than your father. They're both arguing. So Ali radiallahu anhu is smiling. He tells Asma, you make the first law. You decide. So she said, I haven't seen any young person in Makkah, in amongst the Quraysh, or amongst the Sahaba, a young person, shaban, better than Ja'far. And she says, amongst the middle-aged people, I haven't seen any person better than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. How beautifully she answered. There's a very interesting story of a daughter of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha, daughter of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. She gets married to the son of Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala an, Muhammad. And he passes on, he passes away. After some time, then she marries the second brother, Abdullah. And whilst he is in her marriage, he also passes away. So Umm Kulthum then says, Astahi, I'm feeling ashamed. I want to face Asma bint Umais. Both her sons got married to me, both passed away. And then she marries the third one, Aun. But during his lifetime, she passed away. They got married, they were all Ahlul Bayt. This was the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same Umm Kulthum, before that, Umar radiallahu ta'ala married her. Yes, she was very young. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala married her only for this reason, only for this reason. That on the day of Qiyamah, all lineage will be broken, beside that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to be part of Ahlul Bayt. He wanted to be part of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, if we have just little bit of aqal and intelligence, do you think a man who hates Ahlul Bayt, who hates the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who hates Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, will he ever marry his daughter? Will he ever marry in the family just to be part of the family? Impossible. But yet we have people who make such blasphemous statements against Sahaba, against Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, against Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. If one really goes deep down, you will see how the Sahaba married Ahlul Bayt, how people, Abu Bakr Siddiq's family, Umar radiallahu anhu's family, Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, how closely they were linked to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, there are so many other important points that whatever came to mind. Yes, she also knew about interpretation of dreams very well. She should interpret dreams. Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anha, he comes to her and he tells her, Asma, I've seen a dream. I saw a rooster pecking me beneath my navel twice. What is the ta'bir? She says, an ajami, a non-Arab, will inflict harm upon you. And exactly like that, Firoz Abu Lu'lu, the Majusi, he was responsible for assassinating Umar radiallahu ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah ta'ala bless us like how He blessed the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een. They were shining stars for us. We can go on. There are so many more important points we can mention. But they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They imitated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his habits, in all his good qualities. And therefore they were successful. May Allah ta'ala also make us successful. We have to read about Sahaba ikram. And we have to teach or relate these stories to our children. Tarbiyah does not begin after a person's child becomes an addict. Tarbiyah does not begin after the son divorces his wife, or the girl is then divorced and she comes back to her father's house. Tarbiyah does not begin, Allah save us, when the child is caught with something and now he is imprisoned. We should hear this from Hazrat Manana Rahmatullahi all the time, and I'm not lying, wallah, he should take qasam in Allah, I can also take the same qasam, not for any show, wallah, but in a matter of just a few hours today, nothing less than 4 or 5 genuine serious cases of divorce, of talaq, of women crying, really, you can see from those emails, they are in such a dire condition, they are crying for assistance. Now all this happens when? Of course sometimes the wife is wrong, sometimes the husband is wrong. But if you look at the root of all this, we are not prepared, we are just not prepared at all to try and bring some change in our lives. When are we going to change our lives? We have to question, put this question to ourselves. Don't look at the next person and the other person. We'll find 1,000 faults from every person. But we have to become serious. As I mentioned, we don't have any time. Look at the world, Ahlullah leaving this world one after the other. The hadith of Rasulullah says, يَذْهَبُ الصَّالِحُونَ الْأَوَّلُ فَالْأَوَّلُ. One after the other, the pious will leave this world. And you know what remains? وَتَبْقَى حُفَالَةٌ كَحُفَالَةِ الشَّعِيرِ أَوِ التَّمَرِ. Remains of wheat, the residue of wheat or dates, that's what remains after you sift it. What remains in the sift? The hadith says, لَا يُبَالِيهُمُ اللَّهُ بَالَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be bothered about those people who remain in the world. We still have Ahlullah with us. We still have the teachings, we still have the recordings, we still have the CDs. On the day of Qiyamah, we will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in Hajjatul Wida, Rasulullah SAW, when he finished, give his whole message, what did he ask Sahaba? Ask them, which day is it, which place, which month, everything was given. Then what did he say? Allahumma, oh Allah, I am making you witness that I have passed on this message. This message is been given to us, already given to us. We know about, we know what is right, we know what is wrong. I'm not saying we must not go to ulama when we face problems. We should go to them. You are doing the right thing. And wallah, I'm not talking about any specific person or any specific case. This is from the past few months, and from Maulana Hadid his whole life. We are only getting a glimpse of all these things. But really, 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 it takes away a person's sleep, takes away all your enjoyment, then you realize what we are doing. We have no time to do anything else. So if we just put our books in order, let us behave like true Muslims. That's all. We must be prepared to overlook the faults of the wife. And if you have a good environment built at home, a deeni environment at home, why do our mashayikh say you have ta'aleem at home, for what? When we talk about barakah, they say you have barakah. The only barakah that we know is money. We only look at dunyawi barakah. Yes, we'll get that, plenty we'll get. But barakah for the improvement and nurturing of our children. Wallahi, we will be lost, our children will be lost. We have given them already enough freedom. Now it's too late to go and pull that cell phone away from your child, it's too late. We have given him access to every porn site. You have given him access to every haram. You have given him complete freedom. You've got no control of his friends or her friends. You've got no control of the clothing and the wherever they're meeting and whatever they're eating. You have become the child and your child has become the parent. That's the truth. And exactly what Rasulullah had prophesied. But among the sign of Qiyamah, أَدْنَى صَدِيقَهُ وَأَقْصَى أَبَاهُ. A person will bring his friend closer to him and he'll put his father far away, as though he does not know his father. Person will be standing with his friends, his own father, his real father will be going past, and he won't want to meet his father. Friends will ask, who is that? Somebody, friend. He'll feel ashamed to say, this is my father. And this is the reality that is taking place today. But in those homes where tarbiyat is made, then the parent wakes up at odd time and he sees his son or daughter in tahajjud salat. Then what happiness it gives. When the parent has made tarbiyat of your children, one has become a mufti and qari and alim, or is doing some good work in deen, how happy the parent becomes. Ask those people whose children have gone to drugs. Allah protect us. Nobody is free. That's why we mentioned Surah Yusuf, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. Nobody can see his heart and he's clean and he doesn't commit any gunas and he's safe till the day of Qiyamah. No. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّءِ. Oh, all the time your nafs will prompt you, it will tempt you. So we have to restrain ourselves. And how are you going to restrain yourself? You can't do it alone. Wallah, even an alim today, he also requires the company of pious people. He also has to be in a good mahol. Put him alone because of the challenges of time, because of everything around us and the environment we live in. Any person can get tempted. But when you sit together, when you are in the company of pious people like yourselves, and you're sitting in the masjid, you're going in the path of Allah, you're sitting in the halaqah of ta'aleem, you're going door to door making gasht, you're going to an ijtima', you're going to a khanka of some buzruk, you're going to a majlis of some person. In this way you are keeping yourself updated with what? Not worldly information. Spiritually you're updating yourself. Spiritually you are reforming yourself. You are checking yourself. Otherwise, with all the knowledge you have, if you don't worry and bother about making islah of yourself, and this is a gist of the mashayikh of our times and the past, read all the kitabs and the wa'az and nasihat, the sum total of all this is stay in the company of good. At least this will be a deterrent from committing sins. So many people innocently, obviously innocently, but because of the environment they are with, how many have got involved with the secretaries? How many? When it's too late now, the wife has left him, children don't want to see the father. Now he's finding it so difficult. His whole life is in turmoil. He's pareshan. He's not getting any enjoyment whatsoever. So where does he go to? Malana, I need a ta'weez very badly. No ta'weez can help you then. There are so many adult men, old in age, still they have that shahwat. Still they have that evil promptings of shaitan and nafs. That they got halal wives. And this is the truth. A woman phoned the other day, she was crying. What do I do? Because I've caught my husband a few times, and he's involved with another woman. Alhamdulillah, we don't take any names, and I promise you, I didn't even ask the woman her name or her husband's name, nothing. It doesn't concern us who she is. We need to give her a solution. She said, I caught him a few times, and every time I approach him, he becomes angry. And now he abuses me, he punches me, he hits me. What do I do? I've got grown-up children. What answer are you going to give to such people? And this is happening. Every Ali must be experiencing such cases and such problems. My respected brothers and elders, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman, we have got every opportunity of benefiting spiritually and even getting ilm. There are so many ulama around. Whichever alim you have some munasabat with, whichever alim you're comfortable with, wherever there's some dars of tafsir and Quran and hadith, of course some reputable alim, and you sit and you benefit, then you will benefit, you will gain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah. Inshallah we will discuss the surah or the brief tafsir of surah Maryam with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kaf ha ya ain sad dhikru rahmati rabbika 'abdahu Zakariya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah with al-huruf al-muqatta'at we discussed previously. This is from the mutashabihat of the Quran. Allah alone knows best the meaning of these letters. What it actually means, it's His right to keep it a secret, a mystery. Allah and Rasulullah ﷺ know best. Nobody else knows. And Allah has warned us in the Quran of probing into exactly what this really means. So we don't even go into any meaning. We just say this is al-huruf al-muqatta'at, kaf, aya, ayn, sad. But dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. Allah opens the surah with mentioning the mercy of Allah over His servant Zakariya. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi of Allah. A very great Nabi of Allah. In trade he was a carpenter. Wakana Zakariya Najaran alayhi salatu wasalam. From this we understand that to do, involve yourself in some skill, some trade, should not be below a person's dignity. Zakariya was a carpenter alayhi salatu wasalam. Wakana Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam ya'kulu min amali yadih. Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam will also do some trade, some business and eat from his own hands. In other words, they should earn a halal livelihood. So, every Nabi, Rasulullah himself, would take goats to go out and graze. And for that he would acquire some money. And that was his livelihood. So Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. He called out to his Allah, silently. Khafi means silent. In other words, he raised his hands and he made a supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the very, very similar verses are mentioned in the third para, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. He was looking after Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam's aunt was married to Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. And Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam was the daughter of Imran. Imran's wife, that is Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam's mother, had made a vow that, Ya Allah, this child that I am bearing, and she thought it would be a boy, a male, I will free this child to live in the chamber attached to that masjid to make your ibadat. So thinking that it will be a boy, this is another she made. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that it should be a girl. But she had made this oath already. إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطَنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعَتْهَا أُنْثَى. She said, Wallah, it's a girl, what do I do? Now Allah Ta'ala wanted to show us that even though a male was befitting for this position, Allah chose Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam and her rank and her position And the manner in which she made the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she looked after the chamber, even a male could not match her. It's a long story where Maryam alayhi salatu salam is now kept in the chamber. Zakariya alayhi salam time to time goes and checks on her. So once when he goes, he sees her eating fruit out of season. They say in winter she was getting fruit of summer and summer she was getting fruit of winter. Anna laki hada. Oh Maryam, where did you get this from? Now look at the answer she gives. Qalat wa min indillah. This is from Allah. Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. Allah gives rosy sustenance to whomsoever he wishes without any account, without any limit. Bihisab. Zakariya alayhi salam looks at this. He takes a lesson. That Maryam alayhi salatu salam, she has been given fruit out of season. This is a miracle. Why then should I not supplicate to my Allah? I've got no children. I'm very old. My wife is old. In fact, she is barren. She can't bear any children. But let me ask my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama write that he asked nida'an khafiyya silently, perhaps because he didn't want to see it aloud, people around him say, hey, you're an old man, what are you asking Allah to give you, bless you with a child? Because it's not the normal practice, old man getting a child. Or, they say, there is more sincerity when a person makes a silent dua. Loud dua, everybody can hear you. Of course, we have to make ijtima'a dua, loud dua. But sometimes you make silently. On your own you make silently. Because there's more sincerity in this. What did he say in his dua? قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَأَهْنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. It simply means, oh my Allah, my bones have become very weak. I'm gone very old. وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. I've become old. My hair has gone white. In Arabic, the word ishta'ala means to ignite. So we see the flames of old age, they have become ignited. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّةِ. Oh my Allah, I have never become unfortunate and unlucky with regards to my supplication towards you. Whenever I made dua to you, Ya Allah, you always answered my dua. Now this is outwardly an impossible thing. Man is so old. His wife is old. What does he say? وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. Oh my Allah, why am I asking for a son? I fear my family, my relatives after me. If I pass away, there'll be nobody to guide them on the right path. I am afraid that perhaps they'll be misled. So I want somebody, if it's a child, a son, then he will follow my teachings and he'll become the leader and he will make sure he guides them. See, Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. Where was the fikr, where was the thought? Not only this immediate. That's why, ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا. Give me a طَيِّب, a pious, good progeny. Those of us who just got children, there's no harm in making dua, Allah protect my grandchildren, my ذُرِّيَّةً after that. We should make dua. These are now signs of qiyamah. Perhaps Mahdi alayhi salam, Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam appears, or Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala appears, and we should make dua, we'll be in his group. But if we are gone from this world, then our children, our grandchildren, make dua, Allah ta'ala saves them from the clutches of Dajjal. So make this dua, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina. It's in the plural form even. Our progenies, meaning all our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So, Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam is worried about his family, his progeny. I need somebody to guide them. And then what's the other problem? وَكَانَتِ مُرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا. My wife, she's barren. She can't have any more children. She's old. Oh Allah, despite all these outward conditions and circumstances, I have yaqeen that you are definitely going to answer my dua. That is why ulama say, when you make dua, you make dua fervently, with conviction. Like when you take an arrow and you want to shoot that arrow, you hold the bow very firmly, and you release the arrow very firmly.
But if you hold it,
you know, with the hand shaking, and you just release it, just gently, it will fall down just by your feet. You will never reach your target. Like that, you must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you got to beg like a beggar. You got to really beg and cry. Like how a beggar we see outside, and he comes tugging on us, and we try to brush him off. He'll come again, from this side, that side. He's sitting in the car, he's still knocking on the window. And show us his sad, or his desperate face. Like that we have to show that face. That's why Rasulullah said, if you can't cry, then show the face of a crying person. فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّ. Oh Allah, you guide me, some person who will take over this task. Waliya does not mean a friend. Waliya means, give me some person from my family who will now take on this mission of mine. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ. He will inherit from me and he'll inherit from the progeny of Yaqub. They came from the same progeny. وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَّ. Oh Allah, make him such that you are pleased with him. Now here ulama have written in length. Then what are you talking about? يَرِثُنِي, he'll inherit from me. They make it very clear. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam left nothing of the material things of this world. So they didn't have heirs to the material possessions of this world. What they left behind, the mirath of the Anbiya is ilm, knowledge. They left behind ilm of nubuwat. They left behind good qualities. They left behind responsibilities with regards to deen. This is the mirath he's talking about. So he makes dua for a son who will be pure, who will have knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Zakariya, in another ayat in the third para, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمُ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. He was reading namaz in the mihrab, or salat in the mihrab, and Allah ta'ala sent down the angel, and they call out to him, the angels call out to him, Ya Zakariya, O Zakariya, verily we give you glad tidings, bi ghulam, of a son. And Allah himself says, إِسْمُهُ يَحْيَى. We have kept his name Yahya. His name is Yahya already. لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ سَمِيَّا. We did not keep anybody else's name like that before. Samiyya means any person who has the same name, similar name. Allah says, no other person had the name Yahya before. Now, he had made the dua. He had full conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as a human being, spontaneously when somebody really gives you glad tidings of something impossible. Take a simple example. If they say the embassy has now closed, no more visa is going to be issued. 110%. And after 1 week, somebody tells you that guaranteed I can organize you a visa, and there's your visa, they give it in your hand. You can't believe it. How is it possible? Every other person, people who had big contacts, they couldn't get it. How? So you don't believe it first. No, can't be. You see, I'm telling you, open it. No, can't be. Same. قَالَ رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ. Ya Allah, how is it possible? How? Not possible. Show me the manner in which this is going to take place. Because outwardly, the asbab that has been created, or what you have made for us, the system, that's not going to work. I'm old. My wife is barren. وَكَانَتْ إِمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا. He mentions again, وَقَدْ بَلَغْتُ مِنَ الْكِبَرِ عِتِيَّ. I have become so old that I have dried up. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ. Allah says, it will be like this. So shall it be. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created from parents, no? بِدُونِ أَبٍ وَأُمٍ. Without any father, without any mother. Hawa created how? From Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's rib. Normally, from a mother and father. We still got one more story after this, inshallah, next week. Of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam giving birth to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Isa alayhi salam was created from no father. Just a mother. So this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has made all these ways. Allah has made it manifest. Allah has shown it to us. that one is the asbab that we use. But musabbib al-asbab, the creator of all these means, he has the right to do whatever he wishes and no person can question him. La yus'alu amma yaf'al. Allah can never be questioned to his doings. For whom yus'alun, you and I will be questioned. قَالَ رَبُّكَ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ. Allah says, this is nothing for me. It is absolutely, hayyin means easy. It is asan for me. وَقَدْ خَلَقْتُكَ زَكَرِيَا. Didn't I create you before, مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ تَكُ شَيْئًا. You were not in existence. From non-existence, I brought you into existence. How is that possible? Similarly, I will give you a child in your old age. قَالَ رَبِّ جَعَلْ لِي آيَةً. Okay, Allah, give me a sign to show that now my wife is pregnant, she has consumed this child, she has conceived this child, and she is about to give birth. Before she gives birth, prior to just giving birth, give me some indication that now I can express more joy, I can express more shukr to you, O my Allah. I know you are going to grant it, it's granted, but just before she gives birth, give me some sign. قال آيتك ألا تكلم الناس ثلاث ليال سوية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for three nights, despite your being absolutely sound and healthy, you won't have any illness, no defects whatsoever, but you will not be able to speak. You won't be able to speak to people. So when you have to give them instructions, you have to use sign language. You have to use gestures to them. Illa ramza. By sign. And what you should tell the people? Ulama say that normally he would indicate and command them, sabbihu. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or, in this particular case, that Zakaria alayhi salatu salam, despite being so old, and his wife being barren, they have been granted a child. So everybody should be so happy about it. So praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama say when you get good news, what should come out? Subhanallah, subhanallah. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قُومِهِ مِنَ الْمِحْرَابِ فَأَوْحَىٰ إِلَيْهِمْ أَنْ سَبِّحُوا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّةً. And exactly like that, before his wife gave birth, Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam came out to his people from his chamber, and then أَوْحَىٰ. The word أَوْحَىٰ here, he means he made gestures to them, to his people, that they should glorify Allah morning and evening. Make the dhikr of Allah morning and evening. Awha in the Quran does not every time mean wahi. Allah inspires different people. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam when she was told that take your child, put him in a box, in the trunk, and let him flow in the river Nile. She was no Nabi of Allah. وَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْرِ. Bee is being inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not wahi coming down to the bee. Inspired. Allah puts into the bee, the bee's mind, and the little intelligence of the bee, that this is how you must build your entire home. So here the word meaning of awha does not mean wahi, although Zakaria alayhi salam, wahi was being given to him. But here he's talking, he is commanding the people, so you cannot say he gave wahi to the people. He indicated to them. Yahya alayhi salam is born. Quran does not talk about the whole detail. Quran talks about after he had become a youngster and he had a lot of energy. Regarding Yahya alayhi salatu salam, in the third para, Allah talks about him being absolutely chaste, absolutely pure, no sin whatsoever, and he had no inclinations to women whatsoever. Hasura is the word. Hasura. We made him hasuran wa nabiyyan min as-salihin. So the pious, he was a nabi. And he had no inclination whatsoever. Now this is a gift that Allah Ta'ala gave him. Ulama write, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and others have written, Shahnu Kashmir Rahmatullah has written, Shah Sahib Rahmatullah has written, that in this ummat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are expected to get married and carry out all your duties and responsibilities and still obey and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the blessings of the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that despite his responsibilities and he gets married and things like that, Despite all that, he still turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not negligent when he comes to his duties toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam is instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Yahya, khudil kitab bi quwwa. The kitab here refers to the Torah. Hold the Torah with firmness. Allah says, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. We gave him hikmat, wisdom, whilst he was still a young person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already gave him understanding of the Torah. Allah gave him wisdom. Allah gave him intelligence, even prior to becoming a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam got the nubuwat when they were 40 years old. Some ulama have written that he became a Nabi even before this age. Even whilst he was young, he already became a Nabi. But others, you know, what is meant here is Allah Ta'ala gave him the understanding of the Torah. Allah gave him such knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him wisdom already before even becoming a Nabi. وَحَنَانًا مِنْ لَدُنَّا وَزَكَاهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, we gave him soft-heartedness, we gave him love, we gave him affection, hanan, love, compassion. وَزَكَاهُ. We made him pure. وَكَانَ تَقِيَّا. He was righteous. And specifically Allah mentioned, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. He was obedient to his parents. So imagine how important it is for all of us to be obedient to our parents if they are living. If they passed on, then we make istighfar on their behalf. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا. Allah says, we did not make him ruthless. We did not make him عَصِيًّا. We did not make him arrogant. So he was not a tyrant. He was not arrogant. وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ وُلِدَ وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. Allah says, salam, peace be upon him. The day he was born. وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ. The day he will die. وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. And the day he will be resurrected. What is meant? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the day he was born, the day he dies, and the day he was resurrected, shows that he is encompassed by peace all the time. Allah's special peace is on him, whatever the situation may be. So from birth till death, we find that Yahya alayhi salatu salam has got the peace and salamati of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of understanding his Quran. Shah Rasulullah rahmatullahi alayhi would mention that it is ajeeb. Quran ayat of Allah, Kalamullah is being recited to us. And it has been explained to us. Yet it has no effect on our hearts. We're looking still for some other type of explanation or something else. When explanation of Quran, Kalamullah, we opt for something else besides Kalamullah. Yes, we use other sources, for example, hadith and other mawa'iz and things to explain the ayat of the Quran. But asal is Kalamullah. We should not discard the Quran in Majid. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned in the tafsir of Law Anzalna Hadha al-Quran ala Jabal, if we had to place this Quran on a mountain, la ra'aytahu khashi'an mutasaddi'an min khashyatillah, out of the fear of Allah, the huge mountains will demolish or break down and disintegrate into smithereens. They crumble into pieces. Such a mighty creation of Allah, the mountains. He says, hi, afsos. Insan apni khayishat nafsani ki wajah se. Insan, because of his carnal desires, he takes no lesson, no effect from Quran. Quran is recited, no effect whatsoever. May Allah Ta'ala give us understanding of Quran. May Allah Ta'ala give us understanding of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this waqiyat of Sahaba we have discussed. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayat and bring this into our life. May Allah cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds, cleanse our actions, make us pure. In our actions, whatever we do, may Allah protect us, our family members, our children, our youth, and all those men and women who are having problems at home, marital problems. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties. May Allah Ta'ala give them a blissful, happy life. As I mentioned already, I'm not going to mention again all this problem. We are well aware of this thing. We should make dua for ourselves and make dua for our family members and our children and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never become despondent, never lose hope. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. Allah warns us, لا تيأسوا من روح الله. Don't become full of despair and say, oh well, Qiyamah is not going to take place and we are so bad, Ummat is bad. Never talk bad. Ummat is not bad. We are bad. Don't ever say, Ummat is destroyed. If a person says that, then he has destroyed himself. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Be careful what we say, what we do. May Allah make hifazat. May Allah protect us from making one slip and becoming embarrassed and humiliated. May Allah Ta'ala give us izzat and honor. May Allah protect us, our masajid, our madaris, our students, our mashayikh, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah.